Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
It's in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. It says, I'll give you guys a minute to get there. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Thank you, guys. It's a short one. So this passage in Matthew chapter 6 is part of what most people refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the Beatitudes, it's chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. A lot of people will say this is the most well-known, the most famous sermon of all time that Jesus gave, the Sermon on the Mount. And it's just jam-packed. Jesus does not, you know, waste any words. He's incredibly direct, as you can see just in these three verses, how powerful they are, how direct they are. He covers a lot of heavy topics in the Sermon on the Mount. He covers the topic of fasting, covers the topic of giving to the poor. He covers the topic of what it looks like to pray to our Father in heaven. He covers the topic of our identity as salt and light here in the world. As sons of God and daughters of God, he covers the topic of what love is. So it's just, there's a lot, in this Sermon on the Mount. We find these three verses being part of this sermon. I love the use of the word treasure. The word treasure is used three different times in each of the verses. And when I think about, the word treasure, I think about something like a treasure hunt, or a hidden treasure, or a treasure map, a treasure chest, and that there's a lot of mystery involved, with the word treasure. Like, how am I going to find this treasure? What will this treasure be? Will I be able to find the key to open this treasure chest? There's just a lot of a mystery, a lot of searching that is involved with the word treasure. So I'd like to just ask you guys a question. What is it that you would say is the most valuable thing that you own? Just think about that for a minute. What would you say? This is the most valuable thing that I possess in my whole life. If I lost this thing, if this thing was no longer a part of my life, if I no longer owned this thing, whatever it might be, as my wife says, I would go bananas. So yeah, just think about, what that looks like, what value looks like, what treasure looks like in your life. And definitely, this passage shows us, this distinction between two different kinds of treasure. One is a treasure that is of this world, and another is a treasure that is only found in heaven, that is stored up, we can store up in heaven, and we'll discover that treasure once we get there. And definitely, as human beings, we are also eternal beings. Our physical existence here on earth is actually a very minuscule part of what our actual existence is as eternal beings. And so James, says this interesting thing that our existence on earth is like a vapor that appears for a very short time and then disappears. That's what our life here on earth is, just a little vapor that appears for a short time and vanishes. Then, at the ending of this, temporal, physical existence as human beings, we enter into a vast, much greater, much longer period of time that is our eternal existence. And so, definitely there are valuable things here on earth that we have, but in reality, we learn from this passage that we can't take any of these things that can be destroyed, that can be stolen into this eternal existence. We can't take the houses that we live in here on earth. We can't take, the money that is in our bank accounts. We can't take our car. We can't take the shoes that we are wearing. all of those things completely and utterly lose all of their value at the moment of our death. And so, yeah, it's a great, you know, question to ask. Can this treasure that I'm valuing, can it be destroyed? Can it be stolen? And if it can, then that is an indication that it is probably a treasure of this world and not an eternal treasure that it is that we're valuing. One of the beautiful things, you know, about this treasure of Jesus, this treasure of him saving our souls, is that, you know, treasure on earth, usually, let's say you have something that's incredibly valuable to you, but then someone else has that. You see someone else wearing the same pair of shoes that you really love, right? All of a sudden, the thing that you valued so much loses some of its value because it's not as special, it's not as rare, it's not as unique. You know, treasure on earth, it derives its value from usually how rare it is and how difficult it is to get. You know, that gives it its value. But the incredible thing about eternal value is that no matter how many people share, you know, in the salvation of Jesus Christ, and if you tell someone about him and they receive him as their savior, you're not disappointed. You're not like, dang it, the treasure that I had now has lost its value because someone else has it. If anything, it actually increases the excitement of having that same treasure that now someone else is sharing in. And so there's something so beautiful and so powerful about this eternal treasure that it can never lose its value no matter how many people have it. So, I just want to, you know, get us thinking about this question, this idea of, is it possible for one person to have more, you know, of the treasure of Jesus or more of this treasure of salvation than someone else? You know, because if that were true, then you could find yourself being disappointed. Oh, that person seems to have, you know, more of Jesus than I do. Or he seems to, I don't know, just have more of like this salvation, more of this eternal treasure than I do. And we can find ourselves being disappointed or jealous, wanting, you know, more of this treasure because we're seeing someone else seemingly having more. So, yeah, do you think that's possible, you know, for one person to have more eternal treasure? And would we find ourselves, could we find ourselves being disappointed that someone else might have something like that or jealous of them? And I just wanted to declare, you know, this truth that there's this reality that when Jesus died on the cross, he gave himself fully to us, you know? And there's no way for him to give himself any more fully to each one of us. And the thing is, we have these veils, we have these lies that are covering our eyes that prevent us from being able to see the fullness of Christ that we've already freely been given. And so it's not a matter of one person having more, being given more of this eternal treasure. It's just a matter of these lies that are preventing us from seeing the reality that we've all equally been given the exact same treasure, the exact same value. No one can really have any more of it than someone else. Yeah, I love this verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, his divine power has given us everything that we need, right? His divine power has given us everything that we need. And then it goes on, you know, to talk about everything that we need to live this godly life in Christ Jesus. And so if you've ever kind of had this feeling like you're just not good enough, like you don't have what it takes, there's something missing in your Christian life, and if you could just figure out what it was, or if you could just attain that, then your relationship with Jesus would be better. I deeply believe that those are just lies that Satan wants you to believe. You know, that you're not good enough and that you don't have what it takes. Because I picture Satan in hell and calling this press conference of all his minions, you know, together. And just, and he knows this truth. He knows that Jesus fully gave himself to us. And he knows, man, if people just knew this, if they knew this truth, we would have no chance in hell, you know, as it were. And we would have no chance, you know, we would have no hope of victory. The only hope, and he's rallying his minions together, the only hope of our victory is that we make sure that they don't understand this, that they don't know this, that they believe lies, that they don't have the fullness of Christ freely given to them. That's our only chance. That's our only hope to make us believe these lies. And so it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful that we can pray, you know, to the Lord, Jesus, would you please unveil my eyes? Would you please let me see you for who you are? Would you please let me see me the way that I am, the way that you see me? Any lies that I might believe, you know, about myself, about you, God, please just correct those lies. Let me see the truth. Because God's truth is the only true and real truth that there is in this universe. So some of you might be thinking, you know, David, that's cool. You know, Jesus is definitely a valuable treasure. But God loves to give good gifts to us, right? You know, there's that passage in Luke 11. You know, even though your earthly parents, even though they're evil, when you ask for bread, they give you bread. They don't give you a stone. You know, and so if your evil earthly parents are capable of giving good gifts to you, how much more would our God in heaven, our Father in heaven, give good gifts to you, right? But I'd love to just look specifically at verse 13 in chapter 11 of Luke and see exactly what it says. It says, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? Does it say good gifts? It actually says, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What's the most valuable treasure that we could ever receive from the Lord? You know, it's him giving himself to us. That's the greatest treasure, the greatest value that we could ever receive. And God delights so much in us as his children when we just ask him, we just say, Father, please, I just want more of a closeness to you. I want a deeper understanding of you. Please, I want your Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Woo! Come on! So, last Thursday, we got a small team together and we went into a village. And last week, we got our first PA system, you know, in Ponella. And before this, we've always paid about 75,000 kwacha to hire a huge sound system whenever we go into a village, and we'll show the Jesus film, we'll preach the gospel. And so for the first time, actually, Pastor Humphreys and Blessings here in our church helped us, you know, get this PA system shipped from the UK. So we just got it. This was our very first outreach to go into this village and use our PA system, not have to hire a system. And for whatever reason, from the very moment that we get into this village, we're facing problems. As we're setting up, the cable from my laptop to the projector was saying no signal. I kept plugging in 3 or 4 times. I ended up reversing it, which I don't think would make a difference, but it ended up working because I switched it. I pulled it out and put it that end into my laptop, and then the laptop end into my projector. I thought that it went both ways, but... And then all of a sudden, our generator, genset, stopped working. And so we thought, oh, we ran out of fuel. How are we going to get fuel? We're 30 minutes, you know, away from Ponella. So we ended up finding a guy in, like, that local village that had some fuel. But then we opened it up, and there was still fuel in there. And it turned out that just, I think, a piece of sand blocked the fuel from going into the carburetor. So we ended up taking out the fuel cork. It took us like 30 or 45 minutes to break the blockage out of this thing, and the genset started working again. So then we get back, we're like, "Woo! Okay, we finally get to start the Jesus film, you know, get the preaching on." And as we turn on the sound system, in the process of starting the genset, I don't know exactly what happened, but I think it like gave a burst of electricity that fried the amplifier. So it's not coming on at all. No matter what, we tried it in every plug, you know, all 4 of them. Like, maybe this would work. No. So it was, you know, quite heartbreaking for us. We, you know, had one of the members of the team start preaching just without a microphone. I went behind the truck. I just wanted to go home. I wanted to sit in the corner with my thumb in my mouth and start crying, you know. he got done preaching. They called me up to share, which I was kind of hoping they wouldn't, because I was just in this, you know, not in the mood to preach. But just in the process of kind of praying to the Lord behind the truck, I felt like Jesus just kind of asked me, David, where is your treasure, you know, here in this moment? Is your treasure in the amplifier? You know, And losing that, like, are you losing this value? Are you losing this treasure? Or is your treasure in me? Is your treasure in being able to share the gospel with these people? And that's why, I felt like he was really saying, just go and preach. You know, you don't need an amplifier. You don't need a microphone to be able to proclaim the gospel, you know. And so I just shared a very brief message just about how we can face so many challenges. Tonight we face so many challenges in our lives. We can face so many challenges. But again, at the moment when we die, all of those things lose all their importance. They lose all their meaning. You know, all those things, they all of a sudden don't matter anymore. And we'll find ourselves asking, why did I worry so much about all of those things that I was facing, all those difficulties? Man, I wish I just would have used more of my time, used more of my talents, used more of my finances to just glorify the King and store up for myself treasures in heaven that will never vanish, will never lose their value. You know? And there's only one thing that will matter on that moment, you know, of our death, and that's whether we did have Jesus as our Savior in our lives or not. That's the only thing that'll matter in that moment. So in this passage, I think it's interesting that treasure is not singular, but it is plural. You know, store up for yourselves treasures. So of course, you know, Jesus is the most outrageously wonderful treasure that we could ever have, that we could ever possess, that we could ever have living inside of us, living through us. And we get to spend eternity for all, you know, for the rest of all of eternity, if we have him as our Savior, being with him and being in love with him and worshiping him and giving him glory. But could there be other types of treasure in heaven? What does that look like to have other types of treasure? My wife's father, my father-in-law, was telling me a story last time we were in Kenya visiting her family. That he said, you know, I heard this prophecy, I was reading about it online where this guy went to heaven, and he said that he saw his mansion in heaven, but it didn't have a roof on it. And the angel started explaining to this guy that you need to go back to earth and start doing all of these good works, because that's what's going to put iron sheets on your mansion. And so he was so embarrassed, like, oh, I haven't lived my life the way that I should have, so I need to go back to earth, do all of these good things to store up for myself treasures in heaven in the form of my mansion that I can live in when I go to heaven. And so is that a form of treasure? One, I think it's interesting that Jesus, you know, he says, in my Father's house, which is singular, there are many rooms. So I don't think we necessarily have to worry so much about having our own mansion. Maybe, if anything, you know, our room. And I'm pretty sure that God's mansion will have a roof on it, so I also don't think you have to worry too much about whether your mansion in heaven has a roof or not. But yeah, what does this look like, you know, treasures in heaven? Are there other kinds of treasure? I came across this blog from David Jeremiah. He's a pastor in America, and it was this teaching on crowns in heaven. I'm sure you guys have heard, you know, this idea of there being crowns, which seem to be valuable treasures in heaven that were given, you know, when we arrive in heaven. And so I just wanted to take a couple minutes to talk about these different crowns. He laid out five different crowns that we might be receiving in heaven. One is a victor's crown for those of us who had self-discipline here in this world. And he has, I would really recommend, you know, you searching this just on Google, David Jeremiah crowns. He lists all the verses and things like that. There's another, the crown of rejoicing, for those who led others to Christ and are rejoicing in heaven to, you know, see those other people that in heaven. The crown of righteousness for those who longed for Jesus' return. Then the crown of life for those who triumphed over temptation and trial and persecution. The last one is the crown of glory for those faithful shepherds of God's people. They receive a crown of glory. So these were the five crowns that he laid out. But I think it's so important to mention this verse in Revelation chapter 4. It's verse 10 and 11, and it shows us this group of, you know, these people in heaven that have these crowns, that have been given these crowns, and it explains what it is that they did with their crowns. You know, did they flaunt their crowns in heaven? Like, look at mine, mine's so big, mine's so beautiful. You know, was it about them being able to benefit and them being able to look good in heaven, them being able to boast about their achievements, what they did? No, what we see in Revelation chapter 4 is them actually taking the crowns off of their head when they see Jesus sitting on the throne. And they lay them right there at his feet. And they just say, everything that I did on earth, it wasn't for me. Everything that I did was for your glory. It was so that you could receive honor, so that you could receive praise. Here's my crown. Man. So we see Jesus being the most valuable treasure that we'll be able to fully see face to face and worship in heaven. We see these crowns from our life here on earth that we may receive in heaven, that we lay at Jesus' feet to say, I did all of this for you, for your glory. I think there's one last type of treasure that I'd like to just kind of end on. This last week, Toby, one of the members of this church, who's also on the teaching team, he came and visited us in Ponella, and we were, you know, just kind of talking a little bit about what we're doing in Ponella, and one of the questions that he asked was, man, David, how do you keep moving forward, you know, when you see these cases of sexual abuse in Ponella, just one after another after another? Isn't it tiring? Isn't it hard, you know, for you to see all these incredible situations of injustice and suffering that these young girls are going through, you know, week after week after week? And I mentioned something about, you know, I just believe that when we endure suffering, like, it can develop character inside of us, and it leaves us at a place of hope. It gives us hope. And I thought a lot about that question over the last week. And I definitely think that that's true, what I had said, but I wish that I had answered a little differently. And the Lord led me to this verse in Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 16. And it's talking about this King Josiah. I believe it's King Josiah. It could be something else with a J. But it just says that this king, he defended the cause of the poor and the needy. And then it says, is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? And so the definition of knowing God, you know, here in Jeremiah chapter 22, is that to defend the cause of the needy, the poor, is what it means to know God. And so I think there's something beautiful on earth that we get to know God. You know, we get to experience a greater depth of the treasure of Jesus here on earth when we are with the poor, we are with the needy, when we are helping them, when we are serving them, when we are loving them. And I think one of the beautiful truths is because, you know, for me, one of the things that helps me continue to move forward in the work that we're doing is, you know, before I knew Jesus, my heart, my soul, was being tormented and abused. My innocence was being robbed day after day after day. And Satan was my exploiter. He was abusing me. He was exploiting me. And Jesus saw me in my needy state. He saw me in my poor state. And he chose to rescue me. He chose to lay down his life for me. And so here on earth, when we see those who are in need and we are able to help them, it can remind us of the state that we were once in and what Jesus did for us in our state of need. And we can deeply understand and deeper understand who Jesus is and what it is that he's done for us and for our spirits when we help someone physically. And so I think that's incredibly beautiful, because it doesn't just end with us understanding Jesus more. But of course, if you've ever been in a place of need and someone has come to help you, you know, maybe you ask them, why is it that you're doing this for me? And maybe they said something like, it's because Jesus loves me, you know, and he's changed my life. And he calls me to help, you know, you as well. You in a place of need get to also see Jesus. It's not just those who are helping that get to see and experience Jesus, but it's also those who are being helped that get to experience the treasure and the beauty of Jesus. And so when we get to heaven, you know, if we know Jesus as our Savior, how beautiful will it be if we're standing there and we're worshiping him, and all of a sudden, I'm pretty confident, you know, that some people are going to come up to other people and say, hey, I know you. You're the one that told me about Jesus on earth. You know, I'm here because you shared the gospel with me. I think I'll be worshiping Jesus and someone will come and say, hey, it's David. Remember that Thursday night when the genset broke down and your amplifier blew up? But you still preach. I received Jesus that night. Thank you so much for coming to my village. How beautiful, how valuable you know, of a treasure will that be while we're in heaven, to see those other people that we were living life with, you know, the other flood members that continue to encourage us in the faith and strengthen us and walk us, you know, through re-remembering the gospel and the value that we'll experience in heaven. And so definitely as we share, you know, with one another, our time, our money, our talents, we get to show Jesus to other people. We get to see Jesus more passionately and more deeply. And we get to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth. So we see in this last verse here in Matthew chapter 6, you know, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If we're treasuring and valuing things that are eternal, like Jesus, and glorifying him with our lives on earth and leading other people to him, then those are the things that will have our heart. Jesus will have our affections. He'll hold our hearts. And the people around us will also hold our affections, and they'll have our hearts, because we'll know that the value in heaven, when we're standing next to them, their presence will have value. Their presence will be a treasure that can never be stolen away from us and can never be destroyed and will be eternal. So I just wanted to encourage you to ask Jesus to help you focus on the eternal and live your life to store up those treasures in heaven.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.